would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
Greetings. This is the automatically deleted husband, and I was thinking that maybe after a week things would be cleared up, but they're not, so obviously I'm concerned. I don't know, you know, because I did send the texts to your dad's phone, and they were rejected, which could be for a variety of reasons. When I sent a text to you, it went through, but I don't know why you're not clearing up your voicemails. My guess is that you have more than one phone. You know, I remember a couple years ago, I actually sent you one. But I'm thinking that this one is for business. And my concern is, what's happened to your business? So what's happened to your livelihood? I don't know. And I have a concern. Please remember, I'm here. To whatever degree, I'm here. There were some events today in England when the court that released a verdict on the Julian Assange case and said they will not extradite him to the United States. The U.S. government is appealing to a higher court, so the process will continue. But that is a, kind of a partial victory. I listened to a gentleman I listened to before. I forget his name. I could go check it. But he's the U.N. rapporteur on torture. This is kind of like, whoa, what a job. because he goes and reports for the UN and investigates torture around the world. Two of the biggest countries that do a lot of torture is the UK and the US. What happens is at Guantanamo Bay, it's horrendous. It really is. And I mean, it's blatant, it's obvious. But somehow we can justify it, can't we? And I listened to his description of the court's verdict. And it's kind of like, it's reminiscent of, when you look at the political things that are happening. It is done by let's sensationalize, let's accuse, let's make people feel, support us kind of stuff, as opposed to let's look at the facts. People say there was no mass voter fraud, but the evidence is right there in front of you. I mean, it's literally right there in front of you, but. If you look to an authoritative figure, they can say, "Well, no, there's not." I mean, it's like that image some months back or a couple weeks back, whatever it was, of a reporter standing in front of a crowd at a riot and things are burning in the background, and he says, "Well, there's no violence going on." It's kind of like it's that naive. I've talked with people who are have what's called Trump derangement syndrome. They can't stand him, but they accuse him of things, like obviously like the Russiagate things and so forth, which was untrue, as opposed to accuse him on things that are based in fact. I point out when he sent missiles into Syria, that was an act of war, that was murder. Accuse him of those things. The OPCW's reports, totally fraudulent, but. If it doesn't fit the narrative, it doesn't get reported. And I think what's going to happen with Assange is kind of the same kind of thing. The judge said, "Oh yeah, all these things, but because of his mental health, we're not going to extradite him." So the reason they said no was pretty pathetic. But now the U.S. will appeal to a higher court because this was a lower court. And, you know, so the whole process may happen again. And, you know, the guy correctly says what they're doing is torture. You know, 23 hours a day isolated in a prison cell. That's torture. But as I've said so often, for me, the ability to get out and walk makes all the difference in the world. The fact, you know, I've thought about it. I have a, you know, especially as I saw your house, and it appears you have like 700 square foot more than I do, but which is, you know, great. I'm pleased. However, the thing that makes this place so different for me is that I have a fairly large, it's living room, dining room kind of what, but it's open. Rather than that closed space, it's open. And that makes all the difference in the world. That and the fact that I have three sets of windows, I can look outside. And all day, my windows are open. I mean, the blinds are open. And then obviously, when it's good weather, I don't run the air conditioning. My windows are open. Which it's marvelous. It makes all the difference in the world. And of course, one of the other things I do is obviously my walking. And today I just did you know, the 6.5 mile round trip to Publix. But you may recall, no, you probably won't. But anyway, several months back, I sent you a video. Are You Cold? Was the name of it. Because as I was walking towards Publix, a woman pulled off. She was driving by me. She pulled off into a driveway, rolled down her window, and asked me, are you cold? She showed concern for me because it was cooler weather. So it was about a year ago. It was cooler weather, and she was concerned that because I was walking fast, which is my norm. And I thanked her and said no, and we went on. But today, kind of the opposite happened. Because there was a guy walking apparently away from Publix because he had a couple of plastic bags in his hand, you know, unlike I had my hemp bag over my shoulder. But he had a couple of plastic bags that seemed to be full of stuff that he bought at Publix. So he was walking, I assume, home. And quite a ways away, what he did is, you know, I've had people kind of go off to the side of the sidewalk. He walked into people's yards. I mean, he was like 10, 15 feet into the yards to avoid me. And so I went straight on the sidewalk, and he was walking through. And I turned around after maybe 100 feet distance to look, and he was coming back to the sidewalk. He avoided me. He's living in fear. He was wearing a mask and living in fear. I think he was wearing a cloth mask. And you know, the evidence, including the CDC themselves, will tell you, cloth masks increase your risk of health problems, not decrease it, increase it. So my concern is he's living in fear. And I wonder about my own family. Are they living in fear? Are they seeing the impacts already of the upcoming Great Reset? What's happened with E-System South? Are you still in business anymore? What's going on? There's a collapse coming. You know, and especially as I've studied history, you know, there's so many things. The if you look at how things have been researched by these large institutions, how do you change society? And, you know, 100 years ago, the idea was there's no better way than war. But over the last many decades, we tried weather issues, you know, global cooling, now global warming, and now just simply the blanket climate change. You know, the vaccines issues or, you know, pandemics have been tried repeatedly, from swine flu, bird flu, and Zika virus, then the bugs that are coming to invade us, the killer bees and all those kind of things. Various things have been tried. And obviously the most effective has been COVID-19. But again, apparently the numbers are in for 2020. And The 300,000 additional deaths. No, I'm sorry, it didn't happen. It simply didn't happen. When you look at the evidence, there's no pandemic. But you got to get people living in fear. You know, it's kind of saying there's no voter fraud. Remember, John Kerry won the presidential election and George Bush took office because there was voter fraud, and it happened right nearby in Chattanooga. It happened electronically in a room that you've been in. So, I mean, these things do happen. And people live in fear. And who are the people driving it? The followers of Thomas Malthus, the eugenicists, who are trying to reduce world population. People used to make a lot of things about the Georgia Guidestones and the comment in there that number one, you know, the 10 suggestions that they have in there. Number one, keep the world population under 500 million. People say, oh, yeah, those people, whatnot. That's exactly what they're doing. What you will see is a tremendous decline in the birth rate in years to come. It'll be huge. It'll be really huge. I mean, this is obvious stuff. But then, you know, one of the other sides of people are worried about their health. Look at mine. In a few weeks, I'll be turning 65. I know a whole lot of people, like John Painter, never made it to 60. So many people who are just, they get to this age and they're really kind of old, they can't do much and whatnot. I remember I've tried to spend time with people who are younger than what I am now, or were younger than when I tried this with them. They're either in motorized chairs or walking a half mile at a really slow pace is about the best they can do. You know, and I just did 6.5 rather quickly. You know, when you look at, you know, about the skin issues I had, I've had lower back pains. I've had problems with my knees. I've had issues. You know, I used to be one of those kind of guys that drinking something cold, it would get to my teeth and whatnot. And I'd have all of those problems are gone. They're simply all gone. Not because of medical care. And I want to love my family by encouraging them in that way. One of the things that's happened is if you look at walking as a measurement, I'm clearly in the top 1% of aggressive walkers. I'll blow away easily 99% of anybody, any age, not a problem, because of my state of health and because of the fact I do it. Obviously, I wouldn't do that with a runner or whatnot. Runners would beat me. But for somebody to walk 10 miles, you know, 99% of people, I'll leave them in the dark. I mean, I'll just blow them away because I'm in excellent health. But I want to encourage, that's why I've asked over and over again. I want George, Chris and I are planning to do Big Frog Mountain in February. We agreed to do that. That would be part of my 65th birthday celebration, is that he and I will do Big Frog Mountain. We found apparently a different path where there is the incline is kind of compressed, so we have a that'll be fun. But I'll do that hopefully with Chris. But I want to do it with George. George is my son, and doing that kind of challenge, I did something like that. I did something easier with Jack, and I had trouble doing it. This is harder. Not a problem. I am, you know, I have said that I have Benjamin Button disease. I'm getting younger in a lot of respects. I have committed now to do 500 jumping jacks a day. And I do it. You know, there was the one time I did over 2,000 in one day, which was kind of ridiculous. But 500 a day, I do it. I do it reliably. You know, and I did the, you know, because I usually do it 256 in the morning, then 128, and then 128 again. I did that my 128 after my 6.5 mile walk. I'm in good shape. People describe me as thin. That's not the way I think you will remember me. I'll probably be around for a while. So I'll probably have time to pursue reconciliation. And that's what I'm going to do. And if anyone is willing and will reconcile with me, we can pursue more than reconciliation. We can pursue a joyful relationship. Especially for the one and only person who committed her life to me and I to her. I'm only after reconciliation. I'm not after revenge. I've said that over and over again. The only health issue I have is Kabusutu cardiomyopathy. I don't pronounce that right. Broken heart syndrome. What is the common result of someone who has broken heart syndrome? Between 6 months and a year after the event, they have a heart attack. And I did. And I went through months of heart failure symptoms. But I changed lifestyle. And I'm ridiculously healthy. And I'm still in love with my wife. Dorothy Jane, I love you.